This podcast is made possible by thousands of dedicated listeners just like you. Be a part of this powerful three-decade legacy of evangelization by visiting materdeiradio.com or downloading the Hail Mary media app. And thank you for joining us on the bridge between your faith and everyday life.
Bringing you a common sense and fresh perspective to creating a just society. This is Common Sense on Social Justice. You'll get equipped with the tools you need to carry out social justice right where you are. Now, here's the host of Common Sense on Social Justice, Michael Davis.
Thank you so much for joining us again. Today we are in part four of our study of Quadragesimo Anno that was given to us by Pope Pius XI in 1931 on the 40th anniversary of Rerum Novarum, which came out in 1891. It came out on the same day as well of that year that it came out in 1891. But first, you know, I hear from listeners how they are living out the principles. We give our email address at the end of each podcast, and I do hear from listeners, and I appreciate that. I love your feedback. Thank you all for your feedback. But one of the things I love is how you're living out the principles that you hear in this podcast right where you are. You know, and I present the idea of creating a just society in your locale, as I often say, right where you are. However, keep in mind my perspective. As I hear from each of you how you're creating a just society right where you are, I realize that I'm now seeing a movement happening. Because just as you are doing your part where you are, there are countless others now doing their part where they are. So you are not alone. There's this, and I haven't heard this term for a while, critical mass, but there's this critical mass of people working out justice right where they are. So this is why I came to the conclusion I did years ago that the neighborhood is the very best place to create a just society. You focus on your plot of the earth, let others focus on their plot of the earth, and soon you have a movement that is sweeping the globe. Trappist monks have vows that they take, and one of them is to love where you are. And I encourage you to love where you are and to do the very best you can to glorify God and create that just society right there with where you are, with what skills you have. Now, let's get to our study today of Quadragesimo Anno. And today, we will discuss what Pope Pius XI brings out of what to do when you have too much income. There is such a thing, according to the Pope, and I believe common sense as well. But in paragraph 50, and we're studying paragraphs 50 through 62 today, I love it in paragraph 50, it says he's going to talk about superfluous income. That means income beyond what you really need. Now, when was the last time someone asked you about your income and you responded, oh, my income is superfluous? You know, that'd be weird. They'd be like, are you from Britain or what's going on here? But he goes on to define superfluous income as income that is not needed to sustain life fittingly and with dignity. Let me repeat that. Too much income, I'll put it in common terms, too much income is income that is not needed to sustain life fittingly and with dignity. You know, there are many in our societies now that make too much money. And it is not up to the government, by the way, to determine that, okay? Let's make that clear. We're going to be talking about excess income, but it's not up to the government to determine that. It's not up to me either. I'm not going to, if you, you know, email me and say, hey, here's my income. Do you think I make too much? It's not up to me to determine that. That's God. God knows. And the church should encourage those who realize that they make more than enough to pause and reflect on it. And this is what Pope Pius XI does today. He's just asking us to pause and reflect on our income. The Pope brings out that when someone makes more than enough income, then the scriptures and the church fathers have clear instructions what to do with the excess income. Now, note, again, this is voluntary and should never be forced externally. We are each accountable to God. You're not accountable to me. You're accountable to God. So it's not up to me to tell you. Now, if I love you and care about you and I don't want you to be breaking God's commands, I could, as a friend, say, hey, have you ever considered that maybe you have a little bit too much income for what you need and that maybe you should be giving some to the poor? You know, I can ask a question to make you think, but I can't tell you and judge you and demand of you. I can respect your freedom of free will by simply asking questions to get you to think, only with the freedom that you can ask me questions to make me think as well about areas I need to grow in. But the Pope brings out that there are three things that we need to do, or we should do, with excess income. Now, when I tell you these three things, you may actually end up learning some new vocabulary. But the three things that the Pope brings out is almsgiving, beneficence, and munificence. And you're like, what in the world are those words? Well, the Pope says that when we have excess income, we should, first of all, consider almsgiving. This is the practice of giving money and food to the poor indiscriminately, not giving too much thought to it. You buy food for somebody who says they have need. You're not putting too much thought to it. You're like, oh yeah, here's some food. So that's almsgiving. But beneficence is the practice of using excess income to do something good for society. Now, the difference is almsgiving is where you're doing it indiscriminately. You're not putting too much thought into it. And the scriptures teaches us to do that. But there are times for beneficence, which is the practice of using excess income that is very well thought out, that has definite boundaries around it, and is to specific people. So you may say, okay, I've got this excess income, but I don't want to just indiscriminately give it to people. So I understand that there are children being trafficked humanly, and that there's people that are working for this. I want to give it to this group to support their effort to free people from human trafficking. And then you give the money to those people and you say, now here's the boundaries of how I want this money to be used. That's beneficence. Finally, munificence is the practice of lavish charity. I mean, lavish charity. Yes, you're thinking things through. You're setting boundaries, but you're doing it lavishly. Beneficence is kind of like maybe a one-time or a small amount. Munificence is, again, well thought out, but it is just lavish. You're just lavishly giving to bless others. And the Pope says those are three things you should consider in using excess income rather than piling it all up for yourself. Now, in paragraph 51, he talks more about munificence. He goes on to explain that excess income could be used to create abundant and new jobs. But note, only if they are producing useful goods. Let's break this down. He says one way, if you want to grow your income, is to grow it through others. In other words, don't grow your income to stockpile it for yourself, but rather use your income with munificence by creating jobs that have just wages and benefits attached to them, and use those jobs to produce useful goods. So you're not just producing for the common good of society from your own, just your property, but you're using your excess capital from that property that you own and by the way, maybe a factory could be your private property that you own, but use it to create just jobs. So you're blessing others by giving them the dignity of work, but also a just wage. And then they're using it to multiply the goods that you're able to produce. And so you're actually in that being charitable. You're being charitable by creating jobs so others can thrive with just wages, so others can thrive, and by producing more goods to help the world thrive. But notice the Pope says only if they are producing useful goods. You know, there are so many jobs that are and products that are just a waste. I was talking to a friend the other evening about this as I prepared for this podcast, and I said, are there wasteful products on the market? They said, there's so much junk, was their response, on the market. Stuff that just does no good to humanity. And I won't name anything specific, but there are jobs that are a waste, and there are products that are a waste that are not towards the common good of society. Now, are there jobs for which there is no redeeming value? I would say yes, but I want to know what your thoughts are. Email me and let me know. Are there jobs for which there is no redeeming value for that job to exist? And what about products that exist for the purpose of sin? Now, I'm not thinking about like the wine industry, because the wine industry, yeah, people can sin by becoming drunk on wine, but wine could just be used as a celebration around dinner among family and friends. But I'm thinking about, are there products that only exist for the purpose of sin? What do you think? And if so, how can we encourage society to eliminate those products? Paragraph 52. What he is saying is that it's not right to benefit. And I want you to read paragraph 52 of Quadragesimo Anno, but you have to read it a few times because it's like, what is it exactly he's getting to? Well, here's what he's saying. Is that it is not right to benefit from someone else's labor. And then he gets into a discussion that if two work together, for example, the company owner and the laborer, then they should equally benefit. So the Pope is speaking against this idea of the people at the top of a corporation getting million-dollar bonuses, and the person on the assembly line who's actually creating the product getting $14 an hour. So he says it's not right to benefit. What he means by benefit is having excess income from somebody else's labor. So the people working on the assembly line at the factory you own should get equal benefit from the products that are being produced from that. Or if you own an orchard, lots of orchards here in Oregon, lots of vineyards. If you own a vineyard, those workers should get equal benefits with you as the owner. Why? Because they are actually the ones producing. You wouldn't have bottles of wine. You wouldn't have pears going out into the market if it wasn't for the people doing the work. If you, you know, own a factory that creates, you know, Ford pickup trucks, for example, just a random thought. Well, the people on the assembly line are the ones that are actually making a truck that you can actually sell. So why do they get the low the short end of the stick in wages? Now, the Pope really gets into confronting this idea of massive bonuses for the people at the top and poor wages for the laborers. So let's have a discussion around that. I encourage you to create small groups and discuss that. I hear a lot of people complaining about it, but we haven't seen any solutions yet. Now, paragraph 53, the Pope gets into detail now about the hiring out of jobs to laborers. He states that the wealth of the nations comes from laborers. Now, you may have a nation that's rich in oil, like Saudi Arabia and places like that. Well, there's no oil being produced if you don't have workers on those wells. So why do you get millions and they get pennies? Nothing gets produced without laborers. Therefore, they should have the dignity of just wages and working conditions. So sorry, CEOs of major corporations. No laborers, no product. He also brings out that the whole purpose of work is to work with the resources that God has placed in the earth. So that is why we work. So we're not working in some abstract way to produce things of no value. Rather, why do we work is to work with the earth. You take the narrative of Adam and Eve in Genesis. And what does God tell them to do? Get busy producing trucks. No, he tells them, tend to the garden. Work with the earth. Work with the resources of the earth. That is why we work. We don't work as humans to produce stuff. No, God has given us work in order to work the earth itself. Now, paragraphs 54 through 56, there is a huge problem that is brought out, and that is that workers work very hard. I mean, very hard. If you've done a labor position, you're beat at the end of the day. Workers work very hard, and the capital goes to the owners and the wealthy, leaving the workers to fight over the scraps. I was at a meeting recently where they discussed how all these people are getting rich at the top of these companies and crumbs are just getting thrown for the laborers to fight over. That's not right. That's not good. That's not holy. We need to change this. We need to fix this problem now of workers working themselves to the bone and all the profit going to the owners. And I put the word owners in quotes, and the wealthy. No. And I know there's investors, invisible investors behind all this, and you got to satisfy the investors. Can we just please stop the nonsense of being beholden slaves to the investors? And can we please bless the workers for once? And yet there are three lies that grows out of the current economics. And the Pope brings out these three lies in our current economics. The first lie is that any profit belongs to the, quote, owners. The second lie is, in an effort to fight back, the intellectuals, and again he puts that in quotes, have created the second lie. The intellectuals have said that anything beyond repairs and investments belongs to the workers. No, the Pope showed us earlier that it's equal share. It doesn't belong to one over the other. And then the third lie is that anything that is produced belongs to the state. I'm sorry, the state doesn't get to claim ownership of anything. The states, the governments are to be our servants, not us being their servants. So anything that's produced belongs to the state. That's a lie. You know, and the state tries to claim ownership through heavy taxes. I live in Oregon, which has the stupidest, heaviest taxes I've seen. It just drives me crazy, the insane taxes we pay in Oregon. But here he's confronting socialism. Socialism, because socialism is that belief that the state owns everything. It doesn't. Doesn't own anything. It's only renting from the citizens, so to speak. Now, we're reminded by Pope Pius XI what Pope Leo XIII taught us, and that is that the earth belongs to everyone, and its produce exists for the good of all. So there's a double reality, and that's this, that each individual can advance themselves through labor and property, but also what is produced is for the common good, not one over the other. Again, both and. We always act as if there is some grand choice we have to make. It's either profits at the top or profits at the bottom. And what Pope Pius XI suggests is a third option. What about profits being shared? Voluntarily shared, by the way, not, again, forced by the state. Now, in paragraphs 57 through 58, he shows the evil that exists now is that all the wealth is tied up in the hands of the few, and how the workers are harassed, tired, and poor. In fact, he doesn't even say in these paragraphs wealthy versus the poor. Rather, he uses a phrase, the wealthy versus the propertyless. Catch that. The wealthy versus those who do not own property. You know, there is value of ownership over renting. When you are a renter, you have no power, you have no control, you have no ability to produce anything that blesses society. But when you own property, be that property a private residential property, or whether it's a private business property, whatever it is, with that you can bless people. So he says the real battle is not between the wealthy and the poor, but rather between the wealthy and those who do not own property. He states that it is not all about individualism in the free market, but rather the ensuring that goods are distributed to all, that each gets a share of the pie, so to speak, again, not through socialism, but through laborers getting their fair share. And then finally, to wrap up today in paragraphs 59 through 62, he ends this present discussion with insisting that we use this terrible situation of depriving workers of a just wage and of depriving them of ownership of property, that we not rather use it, but rather we eliminate this situation. I believe that the government wants us all to rent. I am convinced that. And living in a major American metro area, the Portland, Vancouver, Hillsboro metro area, I see just massive apartment complexes everywhere. I think the government, and this is one of my theories that I work on. I've got several theories in my head that I speak to friends about from time to time. But I believe that the government wants us all to rent. Because when people rent, then they are much more easily controlled. But when people own their own property, they can act more freely. Now, it is the year 2024 when I'm recording this podcast. It is an election year. And I encourage you, I'm not going to tell you who to vote for, but vote for those who encourage just wages and ownership of property. Governors and other leaders must greatly cut property taxes in order to be just. They must cut burdens to owning land and ensure just wages and other compensations for workers. Again, I live in Oregon. We have one of the dumbest laws in place. I've been discussing this with a lot of people lately. It's come back in the news here in Oregon. But we have one of the dumbest laws, and that is the urban growth boundary. In the 1970s, Oregon passed a law to set an invisible growth boundary around cities that only allows them to grow to a certain point. And they can get a 20-year supply of land, but that doesn't work so well. And so what happens is it artificially inflates the prices of housing, and it causes a great housing shortage to the point where now the governor of Oregon is trying to tweak this law a little bit because we have so much homelessness. And one of the reasons why is because there's such a shortage of housing through this urban growth boundary, it's driving the prices through the roof. And again, this urban growth boundary is one of the leading factors why we have so many homeless people in Oregon. Thank God that the governor is finally trying to tweak this at least a little bit. But I would say instead of tweaking the laws around the urban growth boundary, it must be eliminated right now. No tweaking. Eliminate it. Because it is putting housing and property ownership out of reach and causing actually greater urban sprawl. You know, they passed this law on the contingency that the urban growth boundary would prevent urban sprawl, only that Portland has some of the greatest urban sprawl in the country, because what's happening is people first of all, developers don't want to develop within the urban growth boundary because it's too expensive to do that. And people don't want to live within the urban growth boundary because it's too congested and too dense. So, for example, there's a city 80 miles east of Portland on Interstate 84 called the Dalles, and the Dalles is growing a lot. Why? Because people want to get away from this urban growth boundary, but they need to work inside of it. So they're literally commuting 80 miles one way into Portland to work. The urban growth boundary has created massive urban sprawl rather than solving it. So we've got congestion that should not exist, creating pollution. We've got huge commuting distances. And in the end of it all, we've got a massive amount of people who work but are homeless because they can't afford the inflated cost of housing in these urban growth boundaries. That's an example from my state of how governments just create injustice and they make it impossible to own property. So, what is the answer to all this? What is the answer to all this next time Pope Pius XI gives us the answer? So, what frustrates you? What frustrates you? I get so frustrated with the government, but even more frustrated with citizens drinking the Kool-Aid and believing what the government and media tells them. If you are a laborer, you have the right to just wages, to just compensations, and you have the right to own land. These rights, hear me out, these rights are not held by the owner of your company to generously give you. No, they are your right given by God. And you're the owner of the company you work for, the government, whoever, does not get to determine and to be generous in giving you your rights. No, they are yours. You already have those rights. They're not the ones to give you those rights. They're supposed to be the ones protecting those rights. In the end of it all, you shouldn't have to beg for rights. They are yours by nature. However, I recognize that some people don't have a voice to speak up. So what I am asking you as a faithful listener of this podcast, I'm asking you as a faithful listener to be that voice, to stand up and speak for justice for workers right where you are.
You've been listening to Common Sense on Social Justice with your host, Michael Davis. A common sense and fresh perspective to creating justice where you are. Share your comments and questions with Michael by emailing sjcommonsense@gmail.com. That's sjcommonsense@gmail.com.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider sharing it with a friend. You can support this vital mission of evangelization through MaterDayRadio.com or the Hail Mary Media app. And thank you for helping us lead souls to Jesus through the Blessed Virgin Mary.